Jawsen, drop that beat to start the episode. We welcome you to the Romantic Truth Podcast.
The content of this podcast is intended for an adult audience due to the nature of sensitive subject matter and topics.
Share the experience of Romantic Truth with friends on Google, Castbox, Spotify, Podcast Addict, Radio Public, Breakers, Apple, or any other podcast platform. Just type in Romantic Truth in the search and subscribe.
Now, here is the host of Romantic Truth, Jawsen.
Hi everyone, Jawsen with you here, Romantic Truth, Las Vegas. It's February 20th, 2022. Now, let's go over one more time. When a man is blocked from trying to talk to a woman, it's cock blocking. When a woman is blocked from trying to talk to a man, it's clitorference. Now, the reason why it's called such is based on the gender that's blocking. So for instance, a cock blocker for a man, usually it's another guy. Occasionally it may be another woman, but usually it's a guy, because he wants to have a chance at her. With a woman that's playing clitorference, she's blocking that woman from getting to a man. Very seldom will you try to find a man blocking a woman to get to another man. It does happen though. Now, why do people do this? Cock blocking and clitorference. Well, there are several reasons. One, they don't want you to have more than they do. They don't want you to be in a better position than they are. They want to have a say in your progression with that person. Now, it also depends on if the person knows you or not. They could be overly protective of their friend, because after all, that's their vested interest. Especially if that person is doing something for them that they don't want to have messed up. Like, for instance, that friend may be paying their bills. That friend may not be charging them rent, and they're living off of them. They see everything else as an external threat. She might get with this guy, and this guy's like, well, why are you letting her live on you for free? So, they would prefer their friend being isolated, because they know that at some point, the jig would be up. This is a sad commentary, but it's so true. Now, another reason. You know, you hear this term in the hood called hating. So, let's see. Hating, jealousy, envy, you name it. It's all the same shit. What it comes down to, you have something they wish they could get. So therefore, they're going to thwart the situation. So like for men, what is it? This dude got her attention. Well, I'm going to come in and cock block to make sure I interfere with that attention being given to her, given to him by her. Now, here's the worst thing to happen to a guy when it comes down to something like this. He goes and tries to do what is called chumping the other guy out. That primarily means he's usually insecure when he does this, by the way. He'll go in and try to find flaws in the guy as the reason why the lady should not talk to him, but should talk to the guy who's finding the flaws instead. Fellas, 9 times out of 10, that backfires. You look like the weaker person when that happens. Plain and simple. You want to be appreciated by a woman? Let the dude shoot his shot first and get shot down. Learn from what he did wrong. Learn from what he did right. and then take your time, change your approach. Because if you come in there with him, trying to combat with him for this woman, by cutting each other down, she's gonna throw you both in the trash. That's what these women do on Instagram all the time. Since these guys start beefing over her, what does she say after she enjoys the entertainment for a minute and the attention? You guys gotta go. Mm-mm. We're not gonna have this on my page. And they end up begging to come back on, they're changing profiles, creating another profile to try to get back on. And by the way, folks, if somebody blocks you and you go and create another profile to get back with them, your self-esteem doesn't exist. You can't even take rejection properly. You're in bad shape. See, what you have to remember is, like with me, the only people that matter to me if I'm unfriended or blocked are the people I know. And when I say no, I'm talking about really know them. Knew them well before the internet was even thought of, before Zuckerberg was born, before Facebook was even a concept, even by the Winklevoss twins. So, those long-standing relationships, they would have an impact. But if I don't know you, you know, and you used to crack me up, these people used to act like children on Facebook. Yeah, you post something else again like that, I'm going to block you. I'm going to unfriend you. As if that was going to be some kind of threat with consequences. Please, you're not that important. Nobody knows you anyway. But it made them feel important. It made them feel good. This is why I say, folks, somebody threatens to block you, I just go on and leave. I don't even waste any time. I forget the threat. Bye. Take their power away. That's how you take their power away. Now, some of you know I have the Romantic Truth Facebook page and the Facebook group. The group has about 198 members. And these people have been, well before the podcast happened, they've been there as members. And listeners are free to join. It's the majority of my women in there. I used to write a lot of questions in it. I haven't really been shepherding it the way I should. Well, I've been doing a lot of other things, getting these podcasts out and all the rest. But in any case, there's some content there. And what I'm getting at is what you'll find is that many of the people in there are pretty good people. They give their opinions on things, and I appreciate them. Whenever I need to pull a question or something like that, they're the people that I go to a lot also, and they're listeners as well. That's my little think tank. And sometimes I'll ask a question and get surprised by their answers. Because I'd be thinking one way, and they're like, oh, no, no, no. I'm like, well, damn, I didn't know you guys thought like this. Now, folks, let me tell you something. When it comes down to these people online, social media folks, you have various categories, and you have various levels of a situation they're dealing with, I'll put it that way. And they have various levels of behavior, as we know. Someone has asked me about, is it safer to date someone that you meet on Facebook than it is on one of the dating sites? Now, meeting someone on social media like Facebook, the problem is they have too much access to your family members, your friends, your connections, your personal information. It's a little bit too much. Now, let's be honest about social media. There's a lot of you that want to keep your family and friends out of your business. So the last thing you want is for this person starting out to be a friend, and they haven't been introduced to family or friends yet. And then all of a sudden, they click on his link and see your picture cuddled up with him. You have a lot of explaining to do on that one. And then, you know, people will take that and then they'll probably put it in a post on your page saying, who is this and when did this happen? And you may not be ready to reveal that relationship. So that's one of the risky run with someone who already is on social media. I remember, I think it was back in 2011. Somewhere around there. There was a person that I knew, and she had met this guy on Facebook. And they were chatting back and forth, and she was giving me play-by-play in the DMs because she had just gotten out of divorce. I knew her ex-husband, and for the life of me, I tried to tell her not to marry him years prior. And the reason why, it wasn't that I wanted her or anything, but he just couldn't focus on anything. I had worked with him before, I knew him very well. And she was a friend of mine that I used to work with, and I told her that it might not work. Well, she realized it didn't years later. So she was excited about Facebook, meeting this guy. So they chatted. He found out where he lived, but at this time she did not set her privacy settings. They had been talking for about a week. She comes home from work. He's sitting there waiting for her at her door. He's got flowers, he's got champagne, and she's startled. How do you know where I live? He said, well, on your profile, I saw your address. And she was shocked. It shook her to the core. She went on and was cordial, but she let him know how uncomfortable she felt about that. And he countered with, well, it's your fault. Let me show you how to set your privacy settings so people don't see your address. Some people think that way. Now, that relationship did not go anywhere because she was so turned off by that. But he had been chatting with her online and she was kind of feeling rather secure with him until he did that. Guys, whatever you do, if a woman tells you, and ladies as well, if a person tells you in general, to call them to make sure they're at home before you try to come over after you started dating them and after you know the address, please heed that warning. Please listen. And there's several reasons for that. Now, the incentive for some people to go against that rule is so that they could go and see that person, see if they're doing anything. Now, you talk about standards, folks, ladies especially, that should be one of your standards. You know, like, no throwing hands, no disrespect and cussing. When you come to my house, you gotta call me first or let me know that you're on the way. We have to arrange it in advance. Now, another thing too. Manage expectations, ladies. Here's the key. Guys, listen up. Same thing applies to you, because a lot of you will slip on this. If she or he shows up at your door unannounced, do not let them into your residence. I don't give a damn if you got the place spotless. They didn't call. Because here is the thing. What that is a blatant disrespect for you, your time, and your place. Because once you invite them in, you are rewarding them breaking your rule. I know it sounds cold, it sounds mean, but it's true. We do it all the time. Yeah, I was in the area, and he just walks on in, and you're glad to see him. And some of you ladies who don't want to lose a man, you always let him in. You're a fool. Because once he sees that, hey, I can do this, I can do other things too. Because they're going to do everything you allow them to do until you tell them to stop. And you got to come to grips with that. Now, here's another factor that comes into play. A lot of you ladies will allow this to occur and think that it's, oh, he's really caring about me, he really admires me. See, you know when I told you about me picking up women after work and that kind of thing, surprising them? What I would always do is call them just when they're getting ready to get off work. Before I did something like that, to set expectations. And another reason why I did it was I had a window that was so close to the action happening when we would go to San Diego or wherever that they really didn't have time to think to say no or time to come up with an excuse. And the reason why I wanted them that way, I would only do this on spontaneous events. The reason why I wanted them that way is I wanted it where they were concerned about something and then, hey, let's go to San Diego, and they could take everything that they were worried about and throw it away for that moment, and we can go out and have the fun. Because what's the first thing you do when the day is winding down? And you're like, I can't wait till the weekend. I can't wait till to get rid of all of this shit that's been going on this week. Waiting for the weekend. Clear your mind, right? Well, the only thing I did was preempt it earlier. But I respected them by calling. And not just by showing up. Now, I did have an ex who used to do that. She'd just show up. And then it got to the point. She'd just show up, and all that this woman would have on is just a coat. Totally naked underneath. And she'd come on, she said, well, I've already showered. I should head right to the bed. And I'm like, damn. And I'm like, I could have had another woman over here. She said, oh no, you would have had another woman over here, I'd have kicked her ass. I'm like, whoa. So she don't give a damn about my space. And you run across people who are like that. They don't care. As long as they get theirs. We'll talk more about this in just a moment. All right, folks. I received a thread off of Reddit. And it was an interesting situation that this gentleman's facing. I was going to put it through the voice synthesizer, but it takes too long. I'll just talk about it. It's pretty long, so I'm not going to read it, but I'll give you the details, give you my opinion on it. Now, he's 33, she's 31, and they're married. Life is going pretty smoothly. And she came up with the idea of creating an OnlyFans page. Now, the premise for this was to have a little extra income coming in the house. Husband was down with that. Now, fellas, if your woman suggests something like this, this is a red flag for you. The reason being, usually what happens when it comes down to things involving sex, men are usually the ones to initiate it. Women are the one we have to convince, cajole, and talk them into it, right? Now, being that she was a little enthusiastic about doing this, it was just supposed to be an OnlyFans page where there was a lot of, her in bikinis and underwear, but nothing where she was nude, nothing where she was doing anything provocative. And so she started up. Well, he opened up an account where he could, support her by contributing to the membership. Now, she had about 40 people subscribe to her by the end of the year. This was in 2020, somewhere around there. Well, things started to change a bit. And she started to say, well, I'm really getting sick of this. Maybe we need to do something different. So he tried spicing it up, more videos. She'd be a little bit more salacious. But again, she was very, very discreet about the nudity. Maybe she'd be seen without panties on or without a bra, but nothing where she was doing anything to herself. So the husband goes on, and she's telling him, I'm tired of doing this altogether. Let's just call it quits. You close your account, I close my account, and we call it a day. All right, so he thought indeed everything was okay. Now, here's the thing. He had a friend that he had bragged to about his wife being on OnlyFans. And his friend subscribed to his wife's page out of support. So they were talking. And the husband thought that the wife had just totally done away with OnlyFans. And then he advised him, he says, I'm really loving the content your wife's putting out. He's like, well, he hasn't done this in a long time, so the page may still be up, but the content should be a few months old. So he thought. And the guy said, no, you may want to go and check the page. So they got into an argument. Husband hung up on him. And so he had created another OnlyFans account to go in just to see. He goes in. His wife's been posting content ever since she told him that they were not going to anymore, that she didn't want to do it anymore. But now she's having full-on masturbation, full-on sex, sex with several guys. She's doing the hardcore stuff. Now, the problem is, she had convinced him that she wasn't doing that anymore. She had told him about how she was tired of doing that. And now, here she is, full-blown back into it. And the problem for him, poor guy, he feels as though he did something wrong. And he said if she wants an open relationship, he's willing to give it to her. If he wants it where she has a boyfriend, he's willing to give it to her. He wants to work it out, but he doesn't know what to do at this point. Here is the thing. What this guy doesn't realize, he's been used as a pawn in this marriage from day one. His job is to appease her while she goes on and do other things. See, one thing she wants, does other things rather, one thing she wants to do is to go out and become famous and become rich. And he thinks he has a stake in that. He doesn't. This woman's already deceived him. She's already lied to him. She's already committed infidelity with these other men. And here's the thing. She's going to leverage the potential of divorce against him to comport his behavior. She has a very weak man. Now, it could very well that she chose him deliberately because of his weakness. It gives her more autonomy. But I can tell you, the red flag was when she was initiating the idea about having an OnlyFans page. Fellas, I'm telling you, that's a clue. These women with these OnlyFans pages, they tell you exactly what they think of themselves by having them. The only thing that's different, when the feds busted Backpage years ago, that was another resource where women used to advertise, they'd have photos. Mainly it was prostitution more than anything, and the feds busted it. Well, a lot of them have gone over to OnlyFans. Now, the thing about OnlyFans is this. As Americans, we think that, oh, it's just a porn site or it's a site for adult activity. However, this site is based in the United Kingdom. And the premise for the site was for celebrities, soccer players, to have a page for their fans. That's where the bulk of the revenue comes from. But see, being that it's new in America, we're thinking that, oh, don't think it is a porn site. That's only a portion of the revenue that this company's getting. So when you join OnlyFans, understand when you're sending in your copy of your driver's license and those kind of things, you're actually sending them over to the UK. Because it's a UK-based company, it's not in the US. This is one of the reasons why I have an OnlyFans page, but it's not active, because I refuse to send a copy of my identification to someone in another country. Not going to happen. I don't give a damn who they are. That's just me. Now, here's the thing. A lot of people don't know this, so they'll do things for money. You might want to check these companies out before you start sharing your information with them. Certain apps, you might want to check out who their parent company is and see where they're based. It'll give you an idea as to where your information's going. And you wonder why you have a lot of security breaches. It's because half the time you're signing up for something and don't know who has the final say. TikTok and other companies. Where those companies are run by the Chinese government for the most part. But we don't care. We're so into our freedoms that we don't even look and see where we're expressing our freedoms on, what platforms. Something to think about. Now, let's get back to it. Here's what I will tell you. In this case, he's so weak, he doesn't see himself as having any leverage. And this woman's going to walk all over him. But see, she didn't choose him out of love. More so, out of his weakness. And he was palatable enough in order for her to probably stand to be in the bedroom with. But he was nothing but just a cog in the wheel. This man needs to go get some confidence. First, he needs to get a divorce. I wouldn't even try to fix this. She was very deceitful. She backstabbed him. And no matter what kind of compensation he tries to roll out, or redress, or forgiveness, she's going to take advantage of it. See, the problem here is he is in love with her. She's in love with what he does for her. He will never be her equal in that relationship. He will never be respected. He will never be admired. He will never be loved. He will be used. Now, I want you to think about this reality. In none of the videos that he wrote about in that particular thread, did he sleep with his wife, or was he in any of the videos? But yet, his buddy pointed out that she was in the video and was sleeping with these guys. These guys got a chance to sleep with her on camera, more than likely for free. And even if she charged them, that's a slap in the face to the husband. I don't want to be seen with you publicly when I'm having sex. I'll go and get these other men and be with them publicly while having sex. People you don't know. People that did not take all the shit off of me that you have. People that never had to spend a dime on me compared to you. And by this time, of course, her membership numbers had increased from 40 to God knows what. Fellas, if a woman has an OnlyFans page, already demote her. She's not wife material. She is not wife material. I don't give a damn what they say. She's not wife material. The only thing you can do with that is hit it and quit it. Nothing more. If it involves nudity on the OnlyFans page, hit it and quit it. And be careful, because she might have a camera set up somewhere. So you want to set it up at your place if you're going to deal with her. So there are no cameras. And you're with her. You do your deal. Then you move on. Don't expect anything out of her. You remember I told you about lowering expectations? You remove expectations there. Because you're going to do more for her than she'd ever do for you. In that sense. You're doing more for her by leaving her alone emotionally. She made a choice. There was a lady that I used to date that has an OnlyFans page now. And just out of curiosity, I went over there to take a peek. We never had sex, and I'm glad like hell we never did, because her body is fucked. I'm just being honest with you. And I don't say that in a negative way to just swipe at her. I say this because some people kind of hold sex out as being a reward. I am so glad. That was one I forgo. I just didn't want to get involved. When I saw that, I said, oh my God. I didn't miss out on anything. Thank you. All right, let me get some clarification, because boy, did the emails roll in, especially in my Instagram DM box. Let me explain something about the last comment I made about the young lady with the OnlyFans page. I don't criticize a woman on her body. Her body is the way she wants it. I respect it. What I was getting at, just for clarification, and this is not to appease you, but this is to let you know where I was coming from. She had touted about how fine she was, about how men, you know, wanted her so badly. And she was telling me that I should feel honored to have to wait to be with her. And she really led with her body and sex. Well, naturally, you set that standard of how good you are, how attractive you are, how sensual you are. I took it to heart. Now, it never dawned on me, because I didn't look at women with a critical eye like that, that she was wearing Spanx and whatever the hell you call those body shaper things. Seeing her without them on that OnlyFans page, yeah, and I stick by that, because what she presented was not what the reality was. So, there you go. Plain and simple. Okay, put it in any other. You want me to write it in Russian, German, Spanish? It came down to, she presented herself one way, I saw her another way. And it wasn't representative of who she was. I'm not going to follow someone else's illusion. I deal with reality, in fact, just like this show does. Now, here's another thing that I look at. First, let me tell you a joke to liven things up a bit. Back in 1986, there was this guy. He was late for work. Worked at Xerox Corporation. He gets to his car. That time he was driving a Lincoln Mercure. You could look it up, see what kind of car that looks like. And he was going to do the windshield wiper because it was raining that morning. Well, he went to use it. And as soon as he looks up, there was this huge snail that was on it. So he gets out the car, grabs the snail by the shell, throws the snail 30 feet away, gets in the car and head off to work. Well, he repeated this routine for over 30 years, going to work, being punctual. And then finally one day, they gave him a going away party because he was retiring. It was 2016. He had worked there 30 years. So he goes out to his front to pick up the newspaper in front of his home, where he had lived for the last 30 years. And he checks his mail. And he gets the deed to his house. So he reaches down for the newspaper. And there's a snail on the newspaper. And the snail looks up at him, he says, wait. And the guy said, what do you want? What was that all about 30 years ago when you flipped me off of your windshield? He thumped him 10 feet away and walked in the house. All right. This is the reason why I never was a comedian. Let's go on, folks. What I want you to understand, too, just like I had to learn, when it comes to you being with someone, a lot of times you'll find that person wants you, but they're not in a position really to sustain a relationship at that time. Now, it's not in this case that they could necessarily not be emotionally available. They just could not be logistically available. Here's some things that I would remind you of. If you just moved into a town and you're still settling in, getting into your apartment, getting your furniture, getting the boxes unpacked and all those things, don't start dating during that time. You can start chatting with people, but don't start going on dates like that. Wait until you get everything situated so that you can have more time to really focus. If you're between jobs and you have no money, whether you're a man or a woman, it's okay to start corresponding with people, but not dating them. Not until you got your job, got yourself situated, and you got yourself structured. It will help you a lot. It helps manage expectations. See, what a lot of you are doing, you're going out there, starting up these relationships, these firebrand relationships, and you're thinking that that partner is going to accept you for everything you have right now. Not necessarily. So don't put yourself in that predicament. Keep it where you have options for yourself while you can. The worst thing in the world to do is to get to a point where you can no longer sustain the interests of that partner. Starting a new job, for instance, and you're spending all this time at work, but yet you're trying to juggle time where you could be with this person. You're dating somebody and you just got your car repossessed. Not a good look when you just first start dating them. You want to have things on your end where that person will perceive you as having time for them. You're starting a new business. Anything that you're doing, and I know people will say, well, I can chew gum and walk at the same time. Not necessarily. Because if your mind is not there, then you're not there. So these things you want to really consider. Or if you get ready to leave town. If you get ready to move away from a city, don't start a long-term relationship with anyone. If anything, a hookup, short term, one night only, whatever. You come out better really trying to establish something where you're going than where you're leaving from. But there's some people that have it backwards like that. They will go and try to set up a relationship with someone if they're in San Francisco and they're moving to Oregon. Instead of them looking for someone in Oregon, now they're trying to look for someone in San Francisco. That's not the brightest thing. Another thing too, quit trying to look for people for a long-term relationship if you're going to start traveling, especially if you are retired. And when I say traveling, I'm talking about globally. You're not going to find too many people that are going to look at it from the standpoint of spending money like that. You're wasting your time. Now, you might find someone, but it's going to take you a lot longer. And it's going to be more difficult because you're at a different stage in life. And this is what I'm getting at when I talk about situations. You may try to date someone, and they're in a totally situation from you, a totally different one. And for some reason, you're going to try to make it work. So what you do is something like, you go on these trips, and then you only want to be with this person when you get back. As if they're supposed to stay loyal and wait for you. They don't have time for you. You're not that important. Another thing, too. don't start a relationship and then you're going on all these road trips and then you're coming back bragging about it, showing them the pictures about how you and your girlfriend drove to California, whatever. Nobody gives a shit. Really, they don't. We're not here to be your captive audience. We're not sitting there with bated breath waiting for you to come back and acknowledge us. That's something you have to deal with. Why don't you go online and get you an Instagram following, take off a few clothes, maybe it'll work that way. People don't have time to waste on things like that. I'm just telling you, folks. And some of you guys, women don't give a damn how big the fish is that you caught. They don't give a damn about the points on the buck that you shot. They don't care about the car that you bought. That's all about you. They don't care about that. They want to know about you. When are you going to be with me? Damn all these other things. And see, these people are not available logistically for whatever reason. Which means that other things prioritize from their perspective, and you get the excuses. Oh, well, I'm gonna go. Like this one lady told me she was gonna go to Denver, and she wanted me to follow her to Denver. And we've only been going out for 3.5 weeks. I'm like, lady, you done bumped your head, stumbled in the dark, and fell down a flight of stairs and landed in a damn acid pool if you think I'm gonna do something like that. Well, I thought you cared about me. Not that damn much. I don't know you like that. I don't trust you like that, and I don't take risks like that. Well, I'll find someone who will. Go right ahead. That damn sure won't be me. Wasn't me. And that's the thing. A lot of these people are out there. They may not be emotionally ready, and they may not be logistically ready. See, the emotional unreadiness you can kind of pick up because they'll be focused on other things. They'll be looking back in the past relationships. They'll be hung up on that. They'll be a hopeless romantic looking for a guy that doesn't exist. But for the most part, that logistically challenged person, they think that you're supposed to accept all the complications and things that you have to deal with in order to deal with them. There was another lady that I met on Plenty of Fish. It was laughable. She told me, well, I don't have a car, so here's the thing. I said, okay, in Vegas you don't have a car. It's kind of understandable, but it's kind of difficult to be without a car in Vegas. Unless you have a disability, then it's understandable. That's a no-brainer. Can't drive. Well, here's the thing. She told me that the way it was going to have to work, I'd have to pick her up in Mesquite, Nevada, because she was going to stay a night at this girlfriend's house. Then she'd be down in Henderson, and then I could go visit her there. She'd be there for a night, and then she'd be in Paradise, Nevada, and she'd be at Sunset Manor, and then she'd be out in Blue Diamond. And I started asking, wait a minute, this is within 1 week, what's going on? Well, I lost my apartment, so I'm couch surfing. I said, so literally, I would have to go all over Southern Nevada to date you. I said, uh-uh. And then she turned on me like a dime, right? You men are all the same. Y'all just don't want to do things for a lady. Didn't want to be a fool. Wasn't going to deal with that. These people think it's normal. They actually think that's normal behavior. Vegas is by far one of the hardest environments in order to date. It's really harder than Los Angeles. Because in Los Angeles, you kind of know what you're dealing with. Here, the problem is, you have so many people from so many different places with so many different issues. You have to see which issues you can deal with and which ones you can't. Now, for you guys, just as a point of reference, you ladies as well, if you don't like weed smokers, Vegas is one of those places you really have to sift through in order to find people who don't. The majority of them, a good percentage of them. Yep, marijuana, they'll be dealing with it. I don't touch this stuff, never have, never like the smell of it, don't like nothing about it. A friend of mine, when he had glaucoma, was trying to tell me, man, yeah, you don't need to go to the doctor. You just smoke this weed and you don't have any pain. He kept smoking. Didn't put his eye drops in to regulate his pressure. Didn't go through the surgery. That's the reason why he's totally blind now, and that's the reason why I can still see. Because you think that's because the pain is dulled and gone, that the disease and the pressure is still not there. And this is where you're headed wrong. Now, if that's your lifestyle, it's okay, it's no problem. But if it's not something you engage in, I will tell you, it's gonna be difficult for you. There's a lot of people out here that are into that. And these people are no less than any other people because they do it. It's just that if you don't do it, understand, you may have to weave through a lot of people who do. I don't like it because I was with a lady one time who did it. Let me tell you something, that's a horrible mixture. Especially when you try to have sex with them. She had a hair weave that had that corn chip smell. She had that marijuana smell from the weed that was in her hair. The perfume. And of course she had that, not that tuna fish smell, but that sweet smell of pussy. Mix all those together. I had a damn headache. Couldn't wait to get out of her place. And I knew then, I couldn't do it. She was like, well, what's wrong? I was like, I don't think we're compatible. Oh, so you're just going to take the pussy and run? Well, I didn't steal no pussy. I mean, it was a consensual thing. She said, yeah, but you're just being a typical man. I said, no. I said, I want you to think about it. I told you I didn't deal with women who smoked, but I made an exception for you. Yeah, you accepted it. I said, no. I made an exception. Didn't mean I accepted it. Oh, so you're trying to get technical. And I told you in the beginning, when you told me you smoked weed, it wasn't going to work. But you pursued it forward. Well, you were pursuing it with me. I said, yeah, true enough. I said, but it wasn't going to lead anywhere, which it hasn't. And I told you that in the beginning. You're not a bad person. There's nothing wrong with you. It's just that you're not suitable for me. Oh, you think you're better than I am? No. I don't. I'm different than you, but not better. And sometimes people have issues with that. And they'll lie to you. Tell you they're not married. And some kind of men and women do this here in Vegas and everywhere else. Some of them are bold. So what if I am married? What does that have to do with anything? Well, it may not have anything to do with you, but it has a lot to do with me. Like me not being interested in you. Also, you're discriminating against me now. You gotta go to the extreme initially. So, let's see. It's because I'm black and because I'm married. I had a woman tell me that. I said, well, I'm black. Yeah, but apparently you don't like black women. I said, I don't like married women. Period, if I can help it. Oh. So you don't like married black women, if you can help it. She was trying to make herself a victim no matter what. What did she do? Call her girlfriends over. Girl, he don't like black women. And it's like, no, I don't like married women, period, as far as a relationship. No, no, that ain't what you said. You said you didn't like black women. No, you said that. So what if I did? That's irrelevant. That's the way they argue. That's the way these women argue. Doesn't matter about the race, they'll put themselves in there. To fill in the blank. Well, I don't see why you find it so difficult to be with a married woman. After all, we ain't gonna do nothing but what we would do if we were single. But you're married. And I tell them, and that shows me what you think of your husband. So I can imagine if you think that of your husband and you're married to him, God knows what you think of me. But that's a different thing. Don't be talking about my husband. I say, well, you're right, because you've forgotten about him. So what that's supposed to mean? You figure it out. This is the way they come off with the attitude. They know what they did was wrong, but they want to be right. More in a moment, folks. Hi everyone, Johnson with you here, Romantic Truth, Las Vegas. Hey, there's something that I was reading about that was kind of interesting. Many of you who have known about the Pittsburgh Steelers over the years, Terry Bradshaw led them to 4 Super Bowl victories. And there's something that needs to be said. Now, he was on an interview where he explained how he didn't feel as though he was getting his just due, like people like Tom Brady, people like Joe Montana. And he's valid in his assertion. Now, I've been a Steelers fan since 1972. Here's the thing that I would say. In 73, officially, I went with the Steelers because I was a Patriots fan at that time. But here's the thing. The problem I see is that his validity in his argument is that he is not what we would consider marketable or more retail as representative of NFL quarterbacks. I got to be honest with you. Even when he was younger, playing for the Steelers, he still looked like an older guy with the receding hairline. Now, I hate to say this, but he was a damn good quarterback, Hall of Famer in college, Hall of Famer in the pros, without a doubt. He didn't fall short at all. And see, he was stuck with throwing long passes, scrambling. I remember one game in particular, his thumb, the commentator said, was bigger than his big toe. because he had swollen up. But he was one of those quarterbacks that kind of set the hallmark for the Steelers in that he could take a hit, he could run the ball, he always has his eyes open, either for wide receiver. He went with Franco Harris when it came down to, you know, running up the middle or whatever. He was good with that. Not a problem. His performance on the field was superb. Didn't have a problem with that. But see, the side of it that I think he missed out on, and he has a good point here, is that marketable retail side. And I think it's really political in a way. Because you really look at it, and I'm not a judge of men. I think all men are ugly. But let's face it, Joe Montana was a little bit more marketable. John Elway, a little bit more marketable. Roger Staubach, a little bit more marketable. Tom Brady, a little bit more marketable. Peyton Manning, a little bit more marketable. All of these guys look like the next door neighbor that the women wish they had. And I think that that had an impact on a lot of things as far as the, you know, accolades given to them. Dan Marino, back in the day when he played with the Dolphins, same thing. But, you know, people like Terry Bradshaw, Ken Stabler, Fran Tarkenton, they didn't get the carpet rolled out for them. Brett Favre, they didn't get the carpet rolled out for them. But look at Roethlisberger. Didn't get the carpet rolled out for him like the rest of those other players. Quarterback. So I think that there is some validity in his argument, even though people don't want to say it. Now, let's look at it from the standpoint of black quarterbacks. Name one that they've held up besides Drew Brees. Cam Newton is more of a spectacle, unfortunately. But it doesn't take away from what they do on the field. But the problem is the way they're packaged and marketed to the public. And I think that we have to look at that. When you look at basketball, remember the whole rivalry between Magic Johnson and Larry Bird. The both of them mastered that perfectly. They were like, look, it's not going to be this black guy versus white guy thing. We can get along. We both have talent. We both are going to play for the USA in the Olympics. And they did this. And the thing was, it was one of those things where, yeah, they had that rivalry, but it wasn't a rivalry that was personal. It was more professional, about the stats and those kind of things. And I think that that's what's missing now, is the character. And we're looking more or less at the cosmetics, the optics. Who would look good on a Wheaties box? That kind of thing. Now, I think that overall, by doing this, what we've done now, we have set another standard for some of those guys now that are thinking about probably going to play pro football and basketball, and they're like, well, you know, I got to look the part in order to get the part, so to speak. And, you know, it's sad because it seems like that's the way it's trending. You know, there was a Coca-Cola commercial years ago back in the 70s that when Mean Joe Greer came off the field and he gave a kid his jersey because the kid gave him a Coca-Cola. What that did was that softened his image. So, yeah, he was Mean Joe Greer, but by the same token, they showed that he was a gentle giant. And if you really think about it, when it came down to black men being represented in the media, you started seeing a softening of that image. Now, if they would have kept that image alone, it would have been nicer. But what they've done now, they've taken many of the masculine men and they have now over-feminized them. You would not have seen Mean Joe Greer wearing a tutu or a dress or wearing Speedos or something like that. And now we've gone to that point where we're doing that now. And even though I know these fashion designers want to get their things out there, I think the problem is with what they're doing and the strategy they're taking with this, it's also taken away from really the support in the game of the player. Westbrook is a prime example. There have been people online that are no longer Westbrook fans because he did that. They're like, well, he has a contract, so he's making money. I know he might want to make a few extra dollars doing that, but did he have to do that, Russell Westbrook? Now, true enough, it's his own destiny. They had Shaq in the dress. And what's happening is, with this taking place, you got to look at the backside of this too. And the backside of it is, you're going to have kids, and it's okay for if a person, you know, has a lifestyle that they choose. It's no problem with that. But here's the thing, though. It's kind of disingenuous also when you have these men dressed up like women and they're not into that lifestyle. You're going to see a backlash about this later on from the LGBTQ community before it's over with. Because what it's going to become later on is a mockery. Right now, you have a segment of it that's going out there trying to, you know, kind of spread the message where it's okay. But I'm going to tell you, if you're not careful, it could backfire. It's just like what happened for a period in the 90s when a lot of people went overboard with the African, the black type of personification. And then it got to a point where a lot of people in the black community started saying, wait a minute, we got these people walking around with cornrows. We got these people claiming they're black. They're using the N-word and they're not black. And it became a problem. And then people started classifying themselves African-American when they had no such ancestry. And it became a problem. You're headed down the same road with this. Now, another thing too. We're in a cancel culture. We can cancel anybody based on not liking them for whatever reason. But it's only power that people think they have because it's like they want to just hit the remote and change the channel. And just because they feel as though they don't like something, that it's just going to go away. Not necessarily. Mm-mm. Because see, what a lot of these people are doing, they're getting clever. And so they're getting protection from their sponsors. So they're not going to have this situation where it's an on and off switch by viewers or listeners. This is one of the reasons why, even with this show, I have only one sponsor, and that's Anchor. But here's the thing. It's not a situation where I have to control the content based on the sponsor. I could take the show to any other platform. Doesn't matter. But here's the thing. You have to make sure that what you provide people, it's something that can help them, not something that tears us apart, not something that divides us, not something that makes us hate each other. There's enough of that going around with the politics in this country alone. There are families that have not spoken to each other ever since the 2016 election. I was surprised to find that out. I went on one political blog, and it was interesting that this woman separated from her husband after the 2016 election because she was voting for Hillary. He was for Trump. And since then, they doubled down on their positions politically. They have not divorced yet, but they have lived in separate residences. And it's caused a problem with the family because the kids now don't even want to be around their dad. This is real, folks. These people are having serious issues in this country over this divisiveness that we have throughout our culture. Men and women are fighting now. Political parties are fighting now. People are fighting within their own gender. And when I say fighting, I mean not physically, what I'm talking about verbally. Women are emasculating men now. A lot of men are going taking the red pill philosophy. And there's a split even among men now between the thinkers and the doers. I get a lot of criticism from red pill guys. Oh, you're being too sensitive to women. You're catering or pandering to women. No, I'm not. I'm just pointing things out that people don't like to have pointed out. Because a lot of you guys are missing out on the very fundamental things that will help keep your relationships together. And a lot of these women who are not involved with any of these activist movements are saying, hey, we're not part of that crowd. What we want to do is we want to have a decent relationship with men. And there's a group of men like myself who are saying, we want to have a decent relationship with women. We don't have to go through these extreme measures in order to get our point across. But this is where we have found ourselves. And it's really a sad commentary on the state of affairs when it comes down to gender relations, race relations. We're in horrible shape right now. And it seems like the Gen Z generation, they're being the adults in the room. They're surpassing the boomers, the Jones generation, Gen X, Gen Y, the 13ers. They're bypassing all those groups. And they're saying, wait a minute. You guys were bickering over these things for all these decades and you haven't gotten it straight yet. Well, we're going to marry interracially. Well, we're going to go and not shame somebody about their size, their weight, the way they look. Yeah, what was attractive with blonde hair and blue eyes way back when, that's not put on a pedestal now. We're not measuring ourselves by the desires of white men back in their 40s and 50s who wanted these type of women in their lives but didn't have that. That was their fantasy. This younger generation saying, let's do away with the bickering. Let's get these older folks out of office that have sat around so long and did nothing but placate. This is what's happening. And in the Democratic Party, you're going to see a groundswell in this next election of progressives coming in and kicking out the moderates and the old guard. People like Joe Manchin, Sinema, they're going to have challengers. And that's the way it's going. Because this younger generation, they don't see why it took so long. Because you got to remember, this is the most informed generation that grew up because they have access to the internet and to resources, stuff that we would go to school and have to look for in books and libraries. They can now Google it. So what this has done now is positioned them in a way where they could be more objective. They're bucking traditions in many ways. And they're like, just because you kept doing it for so many years doesn't mean that it worked. That meant that you were just doing it all those years that way. And they're coming to see the light. But see, here's the thing. Those voices have been out there for decades. The problem was they never, ever got traction because most people just went on with the same old, same old. This generation said, to hell with that, I date who I want. I can identify myself as I will. I will do as I please. And what you're going to find is that this coming generation is going to challenge the Constitution and they're going to challenge all the freedoms. In other words, what I'm saying is they're not going to change it or do anything drastic. But what I am saying is they're going to test it and see whether or not it is what they say it is. So this is the generation that is going to make America be accountable for a lot of things. The Republican Party with the fear mongering, that's going to go by the wayside. These people are more sophisticated now. They have opened their eyes. And it cracks me up how they talk about a woke generation. Nobody fell asleep. So I don't know where they get this woke shit from. Nobody fell asleep at the wheel. The problem was the people that were in power that was supposed to have represented us did a poor job. They just threw social programs at us. They threw crumbs. And this younger generation sees now, okay, damn the crumbs, we want the steak. And that's where we are. It's something we need to look at, folks, seriously. Because after all, these young people are going to be our doctors, our lawyers, our doctors. I said doctors once, right? But we'll say it again, doctors, a third time. These are going to be the people that are going to make decisions as our politicians. You know, Martin Luther King once said that he wasn't worried so much about the liberals or the conservatives, paraphrasing, but he was more concerned about the moderates. Because, see, the moderates has this sense of fairness, where things should be balanced, and doesn't always work out in a minority's favor, doesn't always work out in a majority's favor. It's the same kind of mindset you get when a judge comes up where they're bound by the law and can only go with an opinion based on the facts. And this, of course, causes problems for some people with agendas. Again, life isn't fair. People try to make it fair. And that's what we contend with. I want to thank you guys. And we're going to go on into that good night. So have a good evening, good day, good morning, whenever you listen to this. And remember one thing, at Romantic Truth, we love you here, and we're trying to do the best to make sure your life is that much better. Take care.
We at Romantic Truth appreciate your listenership.
Listeners, you're invited to stream and listen to Jawsen's music on Apple Music, Amazon Music, Spotify, AudioMac, or Deezer. Type in Jawsen in the search for artists to follow and like modern instrumental music from his discography.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those solely of the host and are not condoned or endorsed by Romantic Truth, Anchor, or any of its affiliates.
The advice given herein is the expressed opinion of the host and not to be used for legal, marital, or family, counseling, or for professional practice purposes. In the event for professional assistance, please contact the local licensed professional family counselor, marriage counselor, or social services professional in your region.
If you need someone to talk to in regards to help, you may contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-8255. Available 24 hours. All correspondences read on the show have been pre-screened and pre-approved by the submitter to be aired on the show.
Be advised that all of the background music of production not provided by Anchor is owned by James Adams and Jawsen 1 Music, exclusively licensed for this Romantic Truth podcast under waiver.
Please understand that there were no people or animals hurt in the segments of this show, including plants. All sound effects were improvised in the studio setting with props. We are an equal opportunity employer with 2 Yorkie poodles and a rat terrier as the security detail.
Please be advised that the content of this podcast is under copyright by Romantic Truth and James Adams.